We want to welcome you to the broadcast. We're very thankful to you for joining with us. This is our midweek Bible study. We have an important message for you today. We want to ask you to pass this message on to others. Share it as widely as you can. It is a very relevant message, a very relevant Bible study for the days in which we live. We're going to ask you to take the scriptures. We're going to read a short portion from the New Testament. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're beginning at the verse 7 and just reading down to the end of verse 12. So do take the Word of God and follow in the reading. Keep the Bible open for the study itself. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So we end the reading just there, the close of verse 10. And we're praying that the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We're going to take time just to pray. Pray for the power of the Spirit to come down upon the preaching. And pray that the Spirit will come as well and enlighten us, open the scriptures to us today. So let's just seek the Lord's face. Father, we do bow in our weakness. We cry to thee for your strength and power. Your word assures us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of having thy word, this book that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I want to pray that you'll open up your word to us today. We're praying, Father, for a message from thyself. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And it's for such a message, a word from your mouth, that we would pray for today. Remember our congregation in these days. We pray for your preserving hand to be upon every member of this congregation. Bless every family. Remember, Father, those especially in hospital who are very weak in body. We ask that you'll be near to them. We're praying, Father, it'll be your will to put your hand upon each one and to strengthen them just at this time. And we pray that you'll sustain their family circles too. So, Father, hear our prayers. We just commit the way to thee now, praying your blessing upon our time around your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The text of scripture that we want to consider for a little while today in our Bible study is the verse 9 of this passage that we have read from, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse 9. Let me just read that verse to you. "And he said unto me," that's the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The message today is upon the subject of coping with sickness. In these stressful days, and days that are very uncertain, as we look out upon the future, we're looking at our midweek Bible studies at the theme of how to cope. You'll remember that last week we took time to consider the subject of how to cope with the cares of life. We'd encourage you to listen to that message. If you hadn't had the opportunity to do that just as yet, You can scroll back on the timeline on our Facebook page and you'll be able to find that message and do share it on with others that you feel it would be a help and an encouragement to. So last week we were looking at coping with the cares of life. Today we're going to look at coping with sickness, or how to cope with sickness. Let me emphasize to you that sickness is a common problem. The reality is that even for the Christian, even for the child of God, sickness is a problem. And what we learn here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is that Paul, the great apostle, had an ailment. He tells us about a weakness that he had in his flesh. You'll notice that he speaks in verses 9 and 10, in both of those verses, about infirmities. And it's in the plural. He had more than one ailment. And often, brethren and sisters, that can be the case. People can have several ailments all at the one time. One sickness can lead to another. One ailment can cause another. So the reality is that Christians do get sick. And perhaps that's true of you today as you listen to this message. And the fact is, you can be distressed about that. You can be distressed about your health, about your physical condition. And that makes your health worse. It makes your condition worse. The psalmist said, "When my heart is overwhelmed." And maybe those words describe how you feel today. Your health is so bad. It's so worrying. It's gone on for so long. And still it's not improving. And you find yourself overwhelmed with the situation. You're at wit's end corner. Well, if that's your situation, I want to try to give you some help today from the Scripture, some encouragement from this portion of God's Word. I want you to stop just for a moment, and I want you to see at the beginning, I want you to take in what Paul says, what he actually reveals to us here about his attitude to illness. If you look at the middle of verse 9, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Notice the word glory there. Also, the beginning of verse 10, he says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Now, don't get the wrong idea. Paul wasn't psychologically imbalanced. He didn't enjoy personal pain. He didn't prefer sickness to health. What he means by those statements is that he could cope with his continued perpetual sickness for this reason, because he had learnt why God had allowed it to take place in his life. And the reason why God had allowed it to take place was it was for the Lord's glory. And I want you to think with me today about the question, how did Paul cope? How did Paul triumph? How was it that Paul got the victory over and in his ill health? Well, this portion holds the answer to that vital question, that very relevant question, especially for us in the days in which we live, when there's so much sickness all around us. I want you to notice, in the first place, as we think of how Paul coped with ill health, I want you to notice the prayer about sickness. He says in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Remember, Paul was a man of prayer. He was a man that prayed about everything. And we learn here that he prayed about his sickness. And let me stress, so should you, brethren and sisters. You might ask the question, is it right to pray about my sickness? Is it right to pray for healing? Well, I want you to see, brethren and sisters, that it is. You might be asking, is it scriptural? Am I in the will of God to pray such a prayer? There are those who would discourage you, even some Christians, who would discourage you from praying for healing. We'll learn here that Paul prayed such a prayer. Paul prayed for healing, and he prayed for healing for himself. He asked that it might depart. What he was saying to the Lord there was, "Lord, heal me. Take this sickness away." So he prayed for healing, brethren and sisters, and it's clear. He's setting us an example so should you. But let me go a step further, and let me stress that it's not wrong to pray for the healing of others as well. James chapter 5 of his epistle said, pray one for another that you might be healed. So let me encourage you, don't be selfish. Don't just pray for yourself. You should pray as a child of God for the physical needs of others. So it's clear from these two passages alone that we've cited from these verses, from these words, that God sometimes heals in answer to the prayers of his people. This portion encourages you to bring every burden that's upon your heart to the Lord. And I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, to talk to the Lord about your health. You've talked to the family, you've talked to the doctors, to the consultants, and all of that is good and right, and it has its place. But don't forget to talk to the Lord about your sickness as well. And notice that Paul prayed repeatedly. He didn't make the request just once. He kept at it. He besought the Lord thrice. In other words, three times he offered this petition. He persisted in prayer. Three times he presented that petition before an answer came. So the lesson here, brethren and sisters, is about persistence in prayer. Even with regard to your health, what you need to do is pray on before the throne of grace until the answer comes. But here, brethren and sisters, is a truth that I want you to take careful note of, and it's this. As you think of Paul's prayers, remember this, that he wasn't healed. Paul didn't get better from his ailment. In fact, it's true to say that the Apostle Paul never got better. Paul was sick until the very day that he died. On this occasion that's before us, 2 Corinthians 12, on this occasion, God didn't answer Paul's prayers. It's certainly the Lord didn't answer Paul's prayers in the way that he wanted or in the way that he expected. So here's a fact, brethren and sisters. Here's a truth that you need to learn, something you need to take in, understand, come to terms with. It's not always God's will to heal even his own people. God doesn't always answer prayers for healing. Let me stress that. But listen carefully to this. In our thinking, the only way to get victory over sickness is to be healed. That's where so many make a mistake, so many Christians. That's where so many go astray. In our thinking, the only way to get victory over sickness is to be healed. But that's not God's way. Remember, his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. His ways are better than ours. So it's vital for you to learn that higher path. And that's what we see here. That's one of the things the Lord is teaching us from this portion of Scripture. So the prayer, as we think of the question, how do you cope with sickness? I want you to see the prayer about sickness. But notice as well the purpose of this sickness. Look at verse 7. The apostle says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So notice in verse 7 that Paul begins and ends the verse with the same words, "lest I should be exalted above measure." There's a great lesson in that, a great insight. What was God's purpose in all of Paul's sickness? It was this. It was to knock the pride out of him. And maybe it's the same for you. Maybe that's the Lord's purpose in the sickness that you're experiencing at this time. You think of Paul. Think of how he'd been honored, how he'd been blessed, how he'd been used of God. God gave him visions and revelations more than any other Christian. This man had been honored, as the passage tells us, by an abundance of revelations. In addition to that, he had literally been to heaven and back. He had been caught up into paradise. He had heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. Now you ask yourself, after such great experiences, how could Paul remain humble? And the answer is that he couldn't. Even the great man of God, even the great apostle, had that tendency in his heart towards pride. And that's the reason why the Lord made him sick. It was to humble him. So remember the important principle, brethren and sisters, as we're considering this. An important biblical principle. The Lord knows how to balance your life. If you have only blessings in your life, then you become proud, you become puffed up. At times you become even arrogant. So in his wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, God gives you burdens as well. And God allows those burdens. He allows the trials, the troubles, the weaknesses in the life of his people. And he allows them in order to humble our hearts before him. And maybe that's the reason why the Lord has brought sickness into your life. I want you to see that he has done it. He has administered it in mercy. It's because he loves you. Think of what the book of the Revelation says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So it's because he loves you. He doesn't want you to get too proud. He doesn't want your life to be blighted by the sin of pride. And his purpose in all that he's doing in your life at this time, through the sickness that you're passing through, is to humble you, to humble your heart before him. There's one other thing. Remember, we're thinking here about coping with sickness, how to cope with sickness. There's the prayer, there's the purpose. The third thing in this passage that we want to emphasize is the provision for sickness. Remember that God always has a message for his people, whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation. And in his sickness, God had a message for Paul as well. Now let me point out, God didn't give Paul an explanation. He didn't give him an explanation for his circumstances, for his illness. That's what so many of us want when we're in that situation. We're asking the Lord, why? Why me, Lord? Well, God didn't give Paul an explanation. What he gave him was a promise to help him, a promise to strengthen him. Remember that your emotions, your feelings, your health, the condition of your health, the condition of your life, those things are prone to change. Sometimes they change daily and even hourly. But remember that his promise never changes. And that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to rest upon the promise of God. And God gave Paul a promise here of grace. He said in the words of our text that my grace is sufficient for thee. And I want you to ponder that afresh, brethren and sisters. The promise of God's grace. It was especially a promise of the sufficiency of God's grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now let me stress, there's never a shortage of grace. We're hearing in these days in which we live of various shortages that have been brought about by the crisis. But there's never a shortage of God's grace. God's grace never runs low. It never runs done. It will never run out. Remember, if he had grace to save you, and he did, the Lord saved you from your sins, and that was your greatest need. So if he had grace to save you, and I want you to see, brethren and sisters, then that same grace is sufficient for every other need as well in life, whatever that need may be. Sometimes we make the mistake as Christians that the only time we have anything to do with grace is at salvation. We're saved by grace. But remember that we live the Christian life by grace as well. There should be the grace of God seen in our lives. We're exhorted to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible promises in Hebrews 4:16, grace to help in time of need. So I want you to see that. The Lord provided the grace that you needed for salvation, your greatest need. So he has grace for every other need in this world and in this life, whatever that may be. even extreme sickness when that comes across your path. And not only is this a promise of sufficiency of grace, it's also a promise of strengthening grace. You think of what weakens you like illness. Illness leaves you faint. It leaves you frail. But we learn here that God can strengthen you even by his grace. He made that promise. He has made that provision for us because he said to Paul here in verse 9, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." So remember that, brethren and sisters. Remember that weakness is strength if Christ is in it, and if Christ is with us, and if his hand is upon us. You see, the fact is, Paul thought, when he first took ill, he thought that he would be a better Christian. His life could be more effective for the Lord if he was healed, if his health was restored. But that wasn't the case, brethren and sisters. And Paul came to learn. The Lord taught him here at this time that often the opposite is true. That times of sickness make you a better Christian, because it's then, and it's only then, that you trust the Lord more. It's only then that you trust the Lord as you ought. It's only then, as this passage teaches, that you rely upon his strength, not your own strength. You rely upon his strength as you ought. Let me just say in closing, there is a great debate over the question what Paul's illness, what his thorn in the flesh actually was. I think the best suggestion is that it was an eye ailment. He had been supernaturally blinded at conversion. And although he got his sight back through Ananias, remember the Lord sent Ananias to put his hands, to lay his hands upon Saul, and he got his sight back, some of the weakness still remained. He never fully recovered from that experience on the Damascus Road. You remember the Galatians said that they would have plucked out their own eyes. So that is probably what Paul's infirmity, his thorn in the flesh, was. But what I want to stress is this. The Bible nowhere states what Paul's illness actually was, or what illness Paul had. And it doesn't state it for a very good reason. And it's this reason. The Lord wants you to learn that one of the lessons of this portion is, whatever your sickness, the Lord wants you to understand that you can cope. You can get the victory. You can get the victory over every infirmity, over every illness, however serious and however painful it may be. You can come to the place in the Christian life only by his grace and by his strength that you can glory in your infirmities. In other words, you can glorify the Lord. You can bring glory to his name, even through your sickness and through your infirmities. And I want to encourage you today to see that, to learn that, and to make that your goal in life as well. So coping with sickness. Here is something of how, as a Christian, you're able to do that, able to accomplish that in the midst of this world. This world with all its struggles and with all its trials. Let me just quote the text to you again as we finish. Verse 9, it tells us, "And the Lord said, and he said unto me," to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." May the Lord make his word a blessing to every heart. Let's just pray as we close. Ask the Lord to speak and teach all our hearts. Father, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for the good word of God, for breaking to us the bread of life. Give us understanding today. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Hearts that understand those things that you're teaching to us. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll lead us on with thyself. We pray that you'll make us more like Christ. We pray that we'll grow and mature and strengthen in the Christian life. We pray for a closer walk with God. We pray for your grace. Lord, help us to prove the sufficiency of that grace. And we pray that you'll enable us every day to walk humbly before thee. And Lord, all that are unwell, we pray that your hand will be upon them for good. Strengthen them and grant them your grace, that grace to help in this their time of need. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.